Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you.
Praise God. It was that round young virgins that got you. I'm sorry. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, let's go to Luke chapter 2. I want to go to the Christmas story. Y'all have to forgive me. I'm a little stopped up this morning. Does this look like anybody's? Somebody lose a belt off your purse or? I'm not saying that over television. Now, I want to, first of all, before we get going and I forget all about it, I just want to thank everybody. Y'all have been so gracious to my family over Pastor's Appreciation and then all the goodies for Christmas and cards and stuff. Thank y'all so much. It really blesses us. And I just can't say thank you enough. I cast all the calories out of everything for you. But I really want to bless you this morning. I want to, the greatest gift that I can give you is to help you have an understanding of Jesus, because that's all that really matters in life. And so my prayer this morning is, matter of fact, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just pray right now this morning that as we go through your word this morning, Lord God, and we look at the birth of Christ, I just thank you, Lord, that today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you just move upon people's hearts. Lord, it's the greatest gift I could give them today is to help them to know you, because that's eternal, Lord. And I know that I can't do it. It's got to be you. It's got to be the power of your Spirit speaking to the people this morning. And so, Lord, I just want to get out of the way, and I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you move and you flow and you touch and you talk to the people today. You speak into their hearts and their lives, Lord, and that a great gift is deposited in them today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So let's read the story here in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now this census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her first son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, and you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." So it was that when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came and made haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Now, you know, you've heard this story, you've read this story, you may have family time that you sit around and at Christmas as a family, and you read through this story and you look at it, and you know, I believe the whole spirit of Christmas, you know, it's in some people's minds and some people's hearts, it's gotten completely off. It's gotten off over into left field. If you would have just been in Walmart yesterday, you would see what I mean. I walked in there. I had to go in there for something, and I didn't want to. I had better sense than that, but I walked in, and I just stood there saying, "Oh, my Lord. Today, Lord, you're going to teach me patience." And off I went, you know, just trying to weed through the traffic and weed through all the people. And, you know, and we come to this time, and you know, as a young man growing up in church, I always loved the Christmas service because it was short. You know, I mean, really, it was just short. And so I wanted to go to the Christmas service, you know. But I always felt it was special. But the thing is I want to share something with you today that maybe will open up your eyes a little bit different look at it, that maybe this Christmas can be a little special to you and you can have something to share with your family. And because it's about family, church, it's about family. And you're going to be with your family. You know, how many of you, don't raise your hand. You know, we all have those, you know, the crazy uncle or the crazy aunt or the, you know, the one that's been a problem or who's mad, who's got a problem. You know, we always got that. That's just life. But I just pray this year that, you know, something will be done special at this time, that there will just be a special touch of their hearts, a special time that, you know, they can go on with Jesus. Amen? So look at the person beside you and says, "I want to pray for your craziness." Who knows? Maybe you're the one that's coming to somebody's, you know, family Christmas that they said, "Oh God, they're coming to Christmas." You know, I mean, it happens. So, you know, I just pray this will speak to you this morning. But you got to get an understanding. There's the reality of this. So many times that we walk in our relationships with God, we want everything to be perfect. We want everything to be rosy. We want everything to have no problems, no issues, no difficulties. This morning I was waking up and all congested in my head and having some sort of an allergic reaction to whatever was going on. And I was like, "Okay, Jesus, man, you got to do me. I got to go preach here in a minute." And I, you know, the Bible, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, David said, you know, I can't praise your name from the grave. So, you know, don't let me die. And I was using that one this morning, trying to keep alive to get here. And I said, "I tell you what, no matter what, if I got to, you know, carry a bucket up here with me this morning, by God, I'm going to tell you all and preach and declare the good news of the gospel." And so, but it always doesn't work right. Can you imagine being ready to deliver and riding a donkey through the hills to have to go do something that the government is forcing you to do? You with me? They had to, they did not know, I don't believe Joseph knew that he was fulfilling Bible prophecy for Jesus to go and be born in Bethlehem. But he was, but I don't know if he knew it. You know how easy it would have been for Joseph to be angry about everything going on because his census was being taken. He had to go back to his hometown, and Mary had him ride on a donkey and ready to deliver. And how easy it could have been for Joseph to get mad about everything, and how easy it could have been for Mary to be, you know, perturbed about everything and just put off and complaining and griping and murmuring, trying to go and do this and, you know, the blasted this and blasted that. If they wouldn't be doing this, I wouldn't have to be doing that, and I could have had this baby at home, and I wanted to be in my bed, and I wanted to be where I wanted to be, and, you know, but here I am having to go and do this, right? But the scriptures doesn't give us any indication that took place. Maybe it did. Because some of the things I'm preaching this morning, you know, I can't tell you exactly what took place because the Bible gives us no more definition. But it seems to me that they weren't. And they went there just fulfilling their duty. She had to suffer to get there. She had to work to get there. And they get there, and they got no place to stay. Now, I want to throw a little bit of good word for the innkeeper. If you've ever been to any you know, like the children put on a play for, you know, all about the birth of Christ, whenever the innkeeper always comes out and everybody's mad at the innkeeper because he didn't let Mary in. But I just got to say, in defense of the innkeeper, it was full. Okay? They just took longer to get there than everybody else, and it was just full, right? There's no indication that the innkeeper was a bad guy, that he looked out and said, "Nah, get to the stable." Y'all with me? But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Okay? So he didn't, because they didn't have, you know, when you go up to a motel and there's vacancy or no vacancy, right? He didn't have a sign. But if he had, right, no vacancy, he's full. Let me ask you this morning this. Has all the complaining, all the murmuring, all the discomfort in your life caused you to have no room in your inn for Jesus? Have you gotten caught up this Christmas in everything that irritates you? The hustle and bustle. Excuse me. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, think about it. What's your attitude this morning? Where are you this morning in life? Is there vacancy in your room, in your inn, of your heart for the Savior to come in today? Don't miss Christmas. Don't get so caught up in everything. You don't have the right gifts. You didn't get enough. Oh my gosh, you got to get this. Oh, we spent too much money. What are we going to do about this? How are we going to get this? Oh, I wish I could have got him a better gift. What are you doing? Our life is not about that. Life is about having room in your inn of your heart for Jesus. Look at the person beside you and say, "I like that." Are y'all with me? Okay, don't do it. Right now, okay, I'm just going to help y'all right now. Everybody just raise your right hand and just confess this after me. Say, "Lord, I'm not going to get caught up in all this. I want vacancy in my inn right now. I'm making room for you, Jesus. I don't want you sleeping in my manger. I want you in my house. I declare it right now in Jesus' name." All right, you got to walk in it now. All right, when you leave today, don't get all caught up in all the hoopla. All right. The second thing, the shepherds. All right, the shepherds. Now, these guys were, again, they weren't bad people. They weren't poor people necessarily. They were just guys that lived out in the country, out in the, you know, in the on the range, watching the sheep. They had to watch the sheep because animals were going to get them or whatever, and that was their livelihood. So they're just out there. They spend time outside. I don't know this again. Y'all just had to give me this one. The Bible doesn't go into a lot of indication about their personalities or whatever. But, you know, if I just see a bunch of guys around a campfire out at night looking up at the stars, I'm sure there's a lot of bull that's talked about. But there's something about sitting outside looking up at the stars that makes you think about how big God is. That's one of the greatest things that we have here, church. Is the ability to go outside on a cool, crisp night and look up at the stars. Oh, man. I can just go sit out there on the back of my truck and lay down and look up at the stars. And it just, you know, especially now in this season when it gets cool and it's just like the sky's perfect, you know. And you look at all of that and you look at the vastness of it. And you think about how big your God is. Amen. See, we always try to keep God small. We always try to keep God in just a little box. We look at the situation, and because we can't accomplish it, because we can't do it in our strength and our ability, then we begin to think God is limited to that. But when you look up at the stars and you see the vastness of the stars and the vastness of all the planets and the vastness of everything going on, then you know what happens? You begin to think about, wow, a minute. My God is a lot bigger than I am. And these shepherds, they were just, I'm just painting this picture here this morning because I believe this is how these guys were, because why did the angels go to them? I believe they went to them because they had their hearts open, or they had a heart to see the announcement of Christ. Are y'all with me? They had a heart that was, I mean, this is a freaky experience, church. Angels appeared, flying around, declaring this word to them. Most people today, if that happened to them, would run, declare aliens have invaded the planet and you know, try to get away from it. But these guys listened. They had ears to hear and they listened. At this time and season right now is a time that we need to be having ears to listen to what God's talking to us and what He's saying to us and the direction of your lives and the words of encouragement. The other day when when I was off and we were in California visiting the family, and I was praying one morning, I just heard the Lord speak so softly to me, but I knew it was His voice, and He said, "Man, just stay the course." Well, that meant a lot to me. It helped me to know that I'm headed in the right direction, because if God tells you to stay the course, well, then you must be headed in the right direction. If He comes to you and says, make a hard right, then you know you're going wrong. Y'all with me? And so, it was just to hear His voice. Folks, listen to me. This is a time of year that if you do what number one I was talking about and you get all caught up in everything going on, you're not going to hear the voice of God. Right? And what will bring you more peace this Christmas, what will bless your family more than ever this Christmas, is to hear the voice of your Heavenly Father speaking to you. Now, on the other half of this shepherds, okay, the other half of the shepherds here, I don't find anything else in the Scriptures ever talking about these guys. Okay, it says that they heard the good news, they went and saw the baby Jesus, they went from there and they went and told everybody, right? But then you don't see anywhere else in the Scriptures that it makes a statement like, and then came along Henry, whose grandfather or father was there the day that the angels appeared. Y'all with me? Because from, you know, this is rough, but from the time that the angels appeared to Jesus' death, you know, it was 33 years. So those shepherds were still alive. I mean, I'm supposing, right? I mean, they could have been alive. But you don't see anything written in there about them. It doesn't say, and Jesus chose these 12 disciples and this one who was one of the shepherds. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't say anything about them. What happened to them? What I want to know is, what happened to the shepherds? I can't find any reference. I've searched. I even Googled it to see if there was any, you know, even fables about them or anything like that, and I could find nothing. It's just like they were there. And it seems to me, come on now, folks, it seems to me that if you saw angels flying around heralding the gospel and you went to the manger, that it would have affected your life so much that you would have got written in somewhere. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe they're mad at me this morning in heaven saying, I can't believe he's saying that. And I could be totally wrong. I don't know. But I'm just saying, they didn't make a page. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a life that Jesus has affected me and touched me and changed me and blessed me, but then I don't do anything else with it. See, I believe the Gospels are still being written. I believe in heaven the Gospels are still being written. You say, well, what basis do you have on that? I don't know. I just believe they're still being written. I believe what's going on in your life is still being recorded and written in heaven. And I want it to be, I don't want it to be, yes, and a page in the Gospel of Robert that, oh, yes, he got saved, he was touched, and Jesus changed his life, and then there's nothing else. Because if you have a divine encounter with the Spirit of the living God, and you know that Jesus is real, well, folks, it should change and affect our lives so much. So much. That it starts to affect everybody around us and all that's going on. One of the things that so amazed me this past week, when I was just traveling and I was sitting on airplanes and listening to other people's conversations and sitting in restaurants and listening to other people's, what they were talking about. We live in a sick world. Only one time did I see a couple praying over their meal. Most of the time, everybody's just talking all kinds of trash. You know, how are we going to get rich? Or, you know, and downhill from there. My point is, don't let your life be the life that had an experience and the touch and a miraculous divine encounter with the Spirit of the living God, and then you're not written anywhere else in the pages. Don't be the Christian who started out in life, but then you never heard from again. Live a life that is so profoundly exciting for Jesus that you have to be written in. Don't just get written off in the back pages. All right? The third person. Now, when Jesus was born, 8 days later, they took him to be circumcised and went to the temple. Now, you have to go look at this guy and read it. It's in Luke chapter 2 still, but verse 25. Simeon. It says here, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed him and said, 'Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.'" Simeon was a man who was hungry for God. He had such a relationship with God that he had been praying and asking God and talking to God, and God had revealed to him that he would not die, would not leave planet Earth until he saw the Messiah. So this so impacted Simeon that he was a man that every day was looking for the Messiah. Every day he was looking like, okay, if Jesus told you that and didn't give you specifics, he didn't say, Jesus said, one day the Messiah will come to you for his circumcision. Right? He didn't say that. He just said, before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. So that meant that every day when Simeon was out on the streets and he was walking and he was going through the marketplace or he's in the temple or whatever he was doing, he was looking for the Messiah. Whether he was already, an older person or he was a child, he didn't say he was going to be a baby. I like how God gives us words sometimes, but he doesn't tell us enough information that causes us to have to look over everything. Right? We sometimes want God just to spell it all out and lay it all out for us, but he doesn't give us all of that, and I believe he doesn't do it because he wants us to always constantly be looking for him. In every situation, in every circumstance, he wants us to be looking to see, is that him? Is this him? What's that? Is that, have that expectation within our heart that God is going to do something miraculous. Folks, we've got to have that in our heart. If we want to see revival in our heart and our families change and our lives change and to see God move, we have to have an expectation in our heart that God is going to move every day of our life. I told this story Wednesday night, but through a series of events, A person was supposed to bring me a part that I needed, and he forgot it, so I had to go into town to get the part. I started to get angry about it, but then I thought, hey, I'm leaving the job. I don't have to work. At least I'm riding my truck, listening to the radio, and so, I mean, that's better than having to work. And so I go get the part, and then I get in there, and I can't find it, and I'm in the store, and I'm in there really long, and thinking I'm needing to leave. I get a phone call, and I'm talking, and about that time, I round a corner, and I run right into a man that I haven't seen for about 18 years. And it was just a divine appointment at that time and that place. I knew God had brought us together. Well, if he wouldn't have forgot the part, I'd have never gone over there and I'd have never met the guy. So all I'm saying is that if you keep yourself, I didn't wake up that morning with some great expectation that I was going to meet a long lost friend. I didn't wake up that morning and hear the word of the Lord saying, Robert, today is the day. I just woke up that morning and prayed, Lord, I just thank you that you ordered the steps of a righteous man, so you're ordering my steps today. That's what I did pray. And my steps got ordered. All I'm saying is if you live a life with no expectation in God, you're just living your life like you only came to church today is the only day of the week you had any expectation. You're missing God six other days. Our life has to be a life like Simeon, that we're always looking, always looking, always looking for God to move in our lives. And when you get like that and you have faith like that and you're believing for God to move in your life, you know what, church? You're going to see him move. But if you wake up in the morning and say, well, God, I'd like to see you move, but I know that you're not going to do anything for me. Who am I? You're not going to see nothing. It's all in your attitude and your expectation. Every day of my life, I'm expecting God to do something. Something. I don't know what, just something. I just want to see him moving. I just want to hear a good story. I just want to read the word and hear his voice. I just whatever. Whatever. Jennifer sang, and the praise and worship team sang, Oh Holy Night this morning, and that's my favorite Christmas song. And I love that song. I believe that song is anointed, just like Amazing Grace is anointed. And I love it. And whenever I hear it, I always feel close to God, and I've got it on my phone. I've got, like, everybody in the world singing Oh Holy Night. All right? That's my Christmas. My Christmas music is various artists all singing Oh Holy Night. But when I began to look, and I went and I studied this out one time because I wanted to see, who wrote O Holy Night, and I began to look into it, and I began to dig into it. O Holy Night, and I've forgotten all the details, but it was written in the 1700s, and it was, and one of the priests asked the congregation that next week was going to be their Christmas service and for somebody to volunteer to write a poem that could be read in church on Sunday for the Christmas service. And this, nobody volunteered. And I said, man, that's just right. Just typical. Just typical. And so the next day, the humblest man in the congregation, small guy, and for some reason I'm thinking he was a baker. And that may be wrong. But came to the priest and said, I have a poem. And he was a person that never did anything like this in church, never wrote or never did anything. And the priest was kind of like, oh, okay. And he had written Oh Holy Night that night. You tell me he didn't hear God? You tell me he didn't have a divine encounter that he heard God? Folks, listen to me. We need to be writing some Oh Holy Nights. It's in you to do it. When you get into God and you have a conversation with God and a communion with God, you've got that capacity on the inside of you. It's there. It's there. But you've got to have that expectation. You've got to be like Simeon and be looking for God to move in your life and keep yourself at that level of expectation. Now, there's another scripture I want to give you. In John chapter 4, verse 10. Because, see, folks, what we miss at Christmas, we miss the true gift. What the true gift is. And it says, Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 10, he's speaking to the woman at the well. And he answered and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. We miss the true gift of Christmas because we're trying so many times to find the perfect gift to give somebody. But the truth of the matter is the greatest gift you can give anybody is to introduce them to Jesus. Christmas doesn't have to be just one time a year. It can be your life every day because the greatest gift you can give anybody is to introduce them into the man who gives life. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It's not just some story. It's reality that the living Christ wants to come into each and every person's life and every person's heart and move in them and touch them and bless them. It's every day Jesus sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father with expectation in his heart, someday, today, somebody's going to believe in me. Amen? The greatest gift is Jesus. He is the greatest gift. All right? He says, if you knew the gift, if you knew the gift. Folks, and listen to me. We have to be careful because the more knowledge we gain about God, there's this place in life that we can just become religious. It's a bad thing. When you get to feeling so secure, comfortable with your relationship with God that you just start going through the motions, you just start putting one foot in front of the other, you just start living your life. Folks, listen to me. That's dangerous because it's one thing to not know Jesus at all. It's another thing to know Jesus and to have the gift within you and not use it. Because the more apathetic you become, if you don't watch it, the end result will be you'll be one of the Pharisees standing in the courtyard screaming, crucifying. You got to imagine, those guys did not start out as murderers. The Pharisees I'm talking about. They didn't start out as murderers. I don't believe it. But somewhere through all the religion, through all the stuff, they just kept going through the motions, they kept going through the motions, kept going through the motions, and they missed the gift. Jesus. Amen? They missed it. Now, I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 2. I want us just to look at this for a minute. Let's look at this gift. Let's look and see what this gift contains. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2. If I was going to be lost on a deserted island and I could take one chapter of the Bible with me, this would probably be one of my choices. I've got several. John 14 is a great chapter, but if I had to just cut out a chapter, all I got was one chapter of the Bible, I believe I could live and feast on Ephesians chapter 2 for the rest of my life, okay? But Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 starts out saying this, and you. Everybody say he's talking about me. He made alive. I mean, just think about that, church. What's in this gift of salvation? What's in this gift of Jesus? He made you alive. He made you alive. You know, I just want to, you know, because I don't ever mind telling on myself because y'all all know I'm human. But, you know, I'd gotten myself into a period where, man, I was tired all the time. And I'd taken every supplement. I'd taken everything in the world. I was just tired. And I was praying about it. And I was just like, Lord, I'm just tired. I just don't have any zip anymore. And I, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to me. And you know what he told me? He said, you're worrying about too much. And I was like, really? I mean, I don't think I'm really worried about anything. I thought I was casting everything over on you. He's like, no, you're carrying too much. You need to quit. And I got out on my knees and I made me a list, and I listed everything that came to my mind, and I started praying about it, and I cast it over on the Lord. And I want to tell you something. It's like I've got a new shot in the arm of energy, because I realized I'm not worried about anything. And then the other day, something happened, and I took that on, and I felt it. It was just like somebody slipped a jacket on me. I felt it come back on me, and I was like, no, I don't want that jacket. And I got down on my knees, and I prayed. Said, God, take this off of me. I don't want it. I'm not going to worry about that. You just take care of it. And I felt it lift, and I went right back to my happy world. All I'm saying to you is, church, I want to be alive. Are y'all with me? I want to live and be alive, and He made it. This gift of salvation is causing you to be alive. Everybody say, I'm alive. Look to the person beside you and say, wake up. Now, what were you alive? He says, He's made you alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. This morning, before I came to church, I told the Lord, I had a conversation with Him this morning. I said, Jesus, I want you to understand something. I physically, this morning, this stupid earth suit you gave me is not functioning correctly. It's having an allergic reaction, and you need to fix it. And as I sat there and thought about it, and I said, you know, Lord, this is really humbling because, man, I can't do anything anyway. Listen to me, folks. Everything that you hear and people, y'all have told me such precious things and sent precious notes to us about how God sets your life and changed you through this ministry and whatever. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm telling you, the day you will recognize that I step to the pulpit and the Spirit of God's not with me and it's just Robert Richards up here, y'all are in some serious trouble. I will get you in trouble quickly if it's me. But under the anointing of the Spirit of God, I believe that He has the ability to change my words into words that you need to hear and leap into your heart and touch your heart, because that's the way God does it. And He can only do that because we got to be free to repent for our sins, and He forgives us and keeps us in a constant state of grace. I got to live in grace. I got to be in grace. I got to have grace every day. Every day I'm going to mess up, because if it's just Robert, he's going to get in trouble. He's going to get in trouble. But I can go to Ephesians 2:1. It says, man, He's made me alive. I'm free from my trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we were once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh to fulfill the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, everybody say, but God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, aren't y'all glad He's rich in mercy? So if I just spoke that a while ago and you're an innkeeper and got no vacancy, or if you're a shepherd and not been heard of, He's rich in mercy to get you just where you need to be today. Change you into a Simeon and get you hungry for the things of God if you'll just let Him. He's rich in mercy because of His great love. Everybody say great love. Okay, great love. God's a God who measures the heaven with the span of His hand, holds all the seas in the palm of His hand, and if He has great love for you, how big is great love? Listen, church. We all say, oh, yes, well, I love so-and-so, and I love so-and-so, but let so-and-so slap you in the face and say something ugly to you and see how quick you still love them. It's like having a dog, and you say, man, I love that dog. He's the greatest dog in the world. Let him bite you. And this is what you say. All I'm saying is, you cannot put God's human, you can't put our human love in even the same category as God's great love. So you do things that are really bad. You got really lots of trespasses and lots of sins. This gift of salvation that came about at Christmas for you is so great that He's got a place of forgiveness for you. Hello? It says, in which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You got a chair in heaven. Now, think about this. Can you imagine going to somebody's Christmas party? And let's just say there were 20 people invited to the Christmas party. And when you got there, there was 19 chairs. and you didn't have a chair. Make you feel a little awkward. Right? I'm glad I got a chair in heaven. Hear what I'm saying? I'm glad that Jesus will say to me, hey, Robert, pull up a chair and sit down here. Let's talk. Do you see what I'm saying to you? You got a place in heaven. What did this Christmas gift do for you? What did this great gift of Jesus coming into this world do for you? It gave you a seat in heaven. It gave you a place to sit right beside him. Gave you a place to sit right beside him and a place where he can talk with you. All right? Goes on and it says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingness of his riches, of his kindness towards us. The exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. Again, how big is God's kindness towards us? You see, we got to be like Simeon, looking for the Messiah, looking for his movement in our life, because he has great love towards you and he has great kindness he wants to show you. You know, as a kid at Christmas, I was really blessed. My family, we were simple, but I always knew I was going to get something good. And tearing through the packages, I had expectation of opening up something great. Y'all with me? You may not have had that opportunity, but I'm telling you, it was a great time. I want to tell you something. You have an opportunity to open up this great gift of Jesus into your life, to open up it to places and vast, great love and kindness that you never even understood was there, if you would just take the gift and use it. It grieves my heart when people who say they know Jesus aren't walking in a relationship with him, because there's so much goodness, so much greatness, so much amazing things that God wants to do for you. Amen? He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This gift, what's in it? He tore down the wall of separation between you and your heavenly Father. That this Christmas gift of Jesus, you can walk right up to the throne of God. Like Romans tells us, go right to the throne of God and have boldness and access to the Father. Woo! Boldness means you don't have to shy away and think Daddy's going to hit you in the head with a bat when you're going to him. Boldness means you can walk up to the throne and you can be bold because you know you got a chair there. You're sitting at the right hand with Christ, right? So you can walk up there and know that you're not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, that chair's reserved for somebody else. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you sat down at a table and it had a reserve sign on it and you didn't notice it? And then the waiter came and had to move you somewhere else because that table was reserved somewhere else? I don't like that. That happened to me on this last trip. And I don't like that. I don't like somebody saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know, that table's reserved. Tough, I'm in it. Get me out. Move the sign. And it's just like I get like that because it's an embarrassing thing because you're having to be placed somewhere else. You with me? I don't like that. I like knowing I can go to the throne of God and there's a chair that says Robert on it. Right? Makes me feel good that Daddy's got a chair for me. Makes me feel good to know that I can go there and Daddy has a place for me to sit down. That I'm not going to be kicked out and rejected. Listen to me, folks. When you're lonely and you're hurting and you need Jesus, you have a place at the throne you can go to. It's not some fairy tale. It's not some figment of your imagination. It's a reality. Whew. Powerful. For he himself is our peace, who made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as creating in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He came and he preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you've also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Everybody say, I'm a dwelling place. So this is it. I'm wrapping up right here. All of this I said to you this morning, don't be an innkeeper. Okay? Don't be a shepherd that doesn't get anything else about you. You've got to be a Simeon, somebody who wants the Spirit of God and wants to use this gift. Realize that you are the temples of the living God and that the Spirit of God wants to live and dwell on the inside of you. Realize this Christmas he wants to fill you and your household and all of yours with his Spirit. And it only takes one thing. Y'all are going to pass out gifts here. You know, you're going to go sit down with your family. There's going to be gifts. I don't know how y'all do it. You know, you got it under the tree and you get them out and I don't know, you sort them out. What does it take? What does it take to when your name's on the gift, what does it take to receive that gift? Right? You just got to tear the paper off of it. You just got to open it. Right? Listen to me. It's the same thing with Jesus. What does it take to have this gift in your life I'm telling you about this morning? You just have to open it. You just have to receive it. You just have to say, God, I thank you for the gift. He's given it to you. He's putting it out in front of you. If you don't take it and you don't use it, well, then shame on you. Because I'm telling you this morning, the biggest box under the tree is Jesus. And he's there for each and every one of you. Amen? And all you got to do is receive him. Grab hold of it. Amen? Amen. Well, I want you to do something for me. Everybody stand to your feet. I want my prayer team to come down, please. And I want to bless you. I want to bless each and every one of you this morning. I want you to have the greatest Christmas ever. Maybe you need to go home and wrap a package, put Jesus on it. I don't know. You know, you need to have this time. But I want to hear good testimonies of what miraculous things God has done for you this season. And I want to pray over you right now. And if you're willing and you want it, then this prayer is yours. All right? If you're just thinking about going home and digging into those cinnamon rolls, then, you know, you're going to miss it. All right? So I want you just to grab a hold of this prayer as I pray it over you right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray over each person here. I pray over their families. I pray, Lord, this morning that we will not be innkeepers. There will be vacancies for you in our heart. We will not be shepherds, Lord, that have an experience with you, Jesus, and get excited about you, but then it's died out and we're never heard from again. I want to have an experience, Lord, and I pray over this church that we be like Simeons, always looking, Jesus, for you. Always looking for you to move in our lives. Always turning to you first, not last. First. And I pray today and I ask you, Lord, to bless these people. Bless their families. I ask you to let your face shine upon them, Lord. Put your eyes upon them and let them at this time of year be able to speak words of life into their families. I declare relationships will be renewed. Families will be blessed. Lord, that you will do mighty and miraculous things. And Lord, that this year, we realize that the greatest gift that we have is you, Jesus. And we thank you for it. Bless them, Lord. And we receive you into our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, church, if there's anybody here, you need prayer, we're here up front to pray with you. I say go be blessed, have the time of your life. Eat what you want to. I cast the calories out of it. So go forth and prosper in Jesus' name. Love y'all.